God's been working in my heart about this message for weeks. Actually, I intended on preaching from this passage and from this thought back before I got sick. Actually, I was going to preach on it that following Sunday morning, right after our Pastor Appreciation Day. Of course, that's turned out to be weeks now, and it's still feeding me and still working in my heart. We'll be looking at, I don't know that we'll get there this morning, I want to look at Gideon. We want to look at Gideon and his 300 men. Something that was said about them in chapter number 8. We're going to start reading in chapter 6. But the text that we're looking at is in chapter number 8, verse number 4, and also verse number 5 will end up being our text verses. And we'll read those two verses just so you can see what's going on. The Bible said, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing." The Bible described it clearly. It was a fact that they were faint. That wasn't an exaggeration. That wasn't an imagination. That was a fact. That these men were faint. These men were the best of the best, and they experienced becoming faint. And I believe it goes without saying that if the best of the best, and you'll see what I'm reason I say that in maybe another message coming, but these men were the best of the best, and if it could happen to them, then that would also include the potential for the rest of us to become faint. And I mentioned earlier, and the Lord gave that statement to me this morning, that faint does not mean finished. And in case I don't get to it, I want to mention this as well, that though they were faint, didn't mean they fainted. There's a difference of feeling faint and actually fainting. The Bible shows us that they did not faint because it followed up that statement that they were faint, yet pursuing. Yet pursuing. They were faint. That was inward. But yet pursuing was outward. Look at verse 5. "And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." So it refers to them pursuing. It's easy for me to have the first part, Brother Craig, of that statement, the faint part. How many's had that one mastered a few times, the faint part? But that wasn't the end of the statement. In fact, the word faint only is followed by a comma. We want to put a period there. We want to put an exclamation mark there. We want to put some kind of a punctuation that would say, this is it. This is, if you're faint, you're done. If you faint, you're finished. If you faint, it's final. But there's a difference of being faint and fainting. Of course, mind you that if faint is not dealt with, if faint is not looked at and addressed in your life, that it would no doubt result in fainting. And your testimony would be to others that you fainted. But look, if you're just wanting to underline some statements, chapter 7, verse 23, there we find as Gideon is addressing, talking about the men of Ephraim, and it said they had pursued after the Midianites. And then chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, it talks about them pursuing. Again in chapter 8, verse number 12, "And when Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them." Verse number 15 of chapter number 8, the Bible again gives us a little hint to the condition of those men being faint when it makes the statement there, and he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zebah and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? So we have the indication there, verse 4 and 5 and 15, that these men, though they were the best of the best, the top-ranked soldiers in Gideon's army, they had come to the place where they were faint. But yet they did not allow, and I thought about some of this stuff, it's worth repeating, so you'll hear it again maybe. Lord, give this to me this morning. I was getting ready, and the Lord spoke to my heart that though faint was a feeling, it never became a force. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, that right there will help you if you get it. Just because you get faint, and how many agree we're in fainting days? We are in days that are faint-driven. Amen. It won't be a bit of surprise to hear of any of us that we fainted. But listen, before you ever progress to that part to where you fainted, you become faint. How many days did you feel faint spiritually? Did you feel faint mentally? Your thoughts were challenging. Your thoughts were struggling. And I could take a few minutes and give you testimony about me in the last few weeks of the mental battle that I've had about the will of God. Amen. Just because you think it does not mean it's of God. Amen. You need to learn to discern through and decipher through, amen, thoughts that come in your mind. Is this really of God? Would God say this to me? Is this voice coming from another direction? Is what I'm hearing coming from another source? And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you have to slow way down and look at it with a microscope and a magnifying lens and look for fingerprints of God on it. Amen. And sometimes you'll come to the conclusion, and it may take a few days, it may take a few weeks, you come to the conclusion, God didn't say that. Amen. I can tell you, I would not have made it here 28 years this in September this year. I wouldn't have made it if I hadn't have learned over the years, Brother Jeters, to discern through some of my thoughts. Amen. When your feelings gets involved and starts agreeing with your thoughts, you better be careful, because you're on the very brink of either doing the will of God or missing the will of God. And if it's taking your joy, that's a good indication that you're thinking wrongfully, that you're considering a wrong move. If you're losing your joy and your song and your purpose, amen, and your meaning, amen, you lose sight of those things. And I know sometimes you think, well, Preacher Rackley, you're this and that, and you pastor here, and you're known all over the country and all of that. But I want to tell you, I struggle like you do. I've got flesh just like you do, amen. I struggle mentally like you do. I struggle with my feelings the way that you do. Amen. But I've learned a long time and still learning that even though if I think it doesn't mean I have to engage that. And just because I feel it doesn't make it authentic. It does not make it to be ordered of the Lord. How many people's got out of God's will because they give in to what they thought or they felt and later discovered, oh, I missed it. Are you listening? You can't deny the fact that them being faint was real. It was real, but it never became regulation. Lord, give that to me this morning, dude. Faint was real. They really felt it. They really felt faint. And it probably even indicated it. May have slowed down a little bit. They were still pursuing, but maybe a little slower. They were still interested in the fight and the purpose of the fight, but they was maybe just a little bit slow because there was weakness coming in. You better watch your weakness. How many times you've heard me say that since I've been in this pulpit in these years? Be careful. You better watch your weakness. If the devil's going to attack, it's going to be in your weakness. And we'll see some illustrations of that at another time. But one of the times, the same word faint and used in our text is used also when Amalek came in and attacked the hindmost of the people. And you know what it said about them? They were faint. You know why they were lagging behind? You know why they were in the back of the line? Amen. It's because they were faint. And guess who Amalek, a type of the flesh, guess who Amalek attacked? It wasn't the strong. It wasn't the leaders. It wasn't those. Amen. He attacked those that were faint. Or if you get weak, the devil's got his eye on you. If you're going to fall, it's going to be when you fainted. I made this statement. And thinking about it this week, I said, you can faint or you can fall without fainting. You don't have to get faint to fall. You can faint, you can fall without fainting, but you'll never faint without falling. You and I becoming faint. And if it happened to Gideon and his 300, the best of the best, I promise you it can happen to you. And the worst thing you can do to deal with it, any of us to do to deal with it, is to deny it. Oh, it ain't happening. I'm too strong. I've been saved too long. I'm a preacher this and a singer that and a teacher this. And hey, my grandpa was thus and so. And no. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, to him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. There's not a person in here that is fail-proof nor fall-proof. There's not a person in here, including me, listen, that is faint-proof. No. There's times that comes in our life. And you know what? We don't like, I've only fainted a couple times, but I hate that feeling. I hate that jittery feeling, clammy, break out in a sweat deal that, you know, precedes the faint part. I don't like it. It's never happened to me, but maybe once or twice, but that was enough. You'll never hear me testify, I can't wait till I faint again. You'll never hear me think about, oh, my, fainting is a positive. No, there's nothing positive about it. Nobody gets a reward for being the greatest fainter. Amen. We ought to look at becoming faint as it is. It's a negative, my friend. It's of the flesh. They weren't faint in spirit. They were faint in the flesh. And when you start getting weak, you better watch out, because the devil is going to work overtime in that weakness. Because he sees a window of winning when he sees weakness. Worst thing you can do is let yourself get spiritually weak. I'm just going to mind the Lord here. We're just going to preach a few minutes and go to the house. But I'm going to tell you, friend, listen. Worst thing you can do is get weak spiritually. The devil is mighty as he is in the scripture, and we're no match for him. But I want to tell you, friend, a spirit-filled person, a spirit-filled child of God, the devil cannot, as long as that person is filled with the Spirit of God, the devil cannot defeat that person. When Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, now, you can look at that any way you want to, but I promise you, you will not see Jesus responding in that wilderness temptation with his deity. That is, he was God manifest in the flesh. He dealt with that whole temptation in the wilderness from a humanity standpoint. Amen. And the devil couldn't do nothing with him. Not because he was God, and he was, but he didn't let that show out. If he would have been God, he could have turned the stones to bread. If he had been God, he could have jumped up on the pinnacle of the temple and jumped off and cut flips down through the and never stump his toe. But he did not deal with that as God. He dealt with it from his humanity. And he showed us that the devil, and you need, amen. You know why the devil didn't defeat Jesus? Because the Bible said, and he being full of the Holy Ghost, Luke chapter 4 account of that situation showed that he was full of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit, and the devil couldn't do nothing with him. And you know what he's doing, Brother Craig? He's showing us that when the devil tempts us and we are going to endure a wilderness trial, a wilderness experience, amen. I want to tell you the greatest thing you can do in those moments, listen to me, Lord, help us today. The greatest thing you can do is focus on your spiritual life. Get your spiritual life where it needs to be, church. Do you understand? Do we understand the potential battles that's upcoming in the next few months? I don't believe most people today, we've been so used to leisure and we've been so used to freedom and we've been so used to all everything. I'm going to tell you, I don't think a lot of people can handle what potentially could be coming. Are y'all listening? And y'all can talk about what happened yesterday or whenever that was. I quit watching the news, including Fox. Fox News ain't nothing but CNN, different letters. That's all it is. I better get off that. No, I better not. I don't need to get off that. What you listen to determines how you feel. I don't know how many people are talking about, call me. They call me. I don't know why they want to call me. Well, you got Biden's your president. I say, he ain't my president. Well, CNN says he is. I don't care what CNN says, the New York Post. I don't care what Fox says. That don't make it legit. It's not an official deal. Amen. And it didn't sway me one bit. Biden's your brother. He ain't my brother. If you remember back, hey, this little side carnal note right here. Some of you ain't getting in on the spiritual, so here's your little carnal side. You remember back when Al Gore went 36 days announcing he was a president? Did he? Was he? Did he? Hello? Surely you don't know that, do you? Amen. When you start going through battles mentally and physically and financially and economically and nationally and in every way, I want to tell you the only thing for your survival, amen, is not who's in Washington and who's doing what in the Senate and who's doing what in the Congress. I want to tell you where our joy is going to come, our endurance is going to come, our survival is going to come. It's going to come when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, that's where our victory comes. Amen. Jesus Christ went into the wilderness experience and was attacked by the devil himself, and none of us will ever have that to happen. As far as it a personal one-on-one attack from the devil himself, none of us are that spiritual, I promise you. Amen. In fact, the devil don't even have to fight me. My flesh defeats me most of the time. Amen. But we need to focus on our spiritual life. And I believe it's indicative here when it said that Gideon's men were faint yet pursuing. Why were they I'll say it this way. Faint identified the complications. They weren't faint because everything was good. And at some point in this series, we're going to deal with why they were faint. What was the causes of them being faint? It's in there. Amen. But they were faint not because everything was good. They were faint because of things they were having to deal with. And it was taxing and exhausting to the flesh. It was taxing and exhausting to the flesh. Amen. Listen to me. Being faint has to do with complications. Yet pursuing lets us see inspiration. You and I better learn. Listen, we're just kind of preaching in general this morning, but you and I better learn that there is a greater force in your life than fainting circumstances. Preacher Rackley's got a word from God, and RBT is going to get it. I hope we get it. I hope it won't be like some of the series as I preached before. I remember preaching several years ago. I preached 23 messages out of 2 Peter chapter 1. 23 messages, and I'm talking about good stuff. Got done with it, Brother Craig, and intended on preaching chapter 2 and 3. I had it outlined, ready to go, just need to study it out. 23 messages in one chapter. And when I got done with it, one of the men of the church then said to me, said, "Preacher, I hate to tell you this." That always is followed up with a negative. Just go ahead and embrace yourself. You know what he said to me? He said, "Preacher, I hate to tell you this, but we didn't get it. We didn't get it. It was some pretty deep stuff, but we didn't get it. It went over our head. It didn't ever resonate. It didn't strike a note with us." Did I go and preach chapter 2? No, I quit. I still have never dealt with chapter 2 and 3. And we're going to learn some great truths, if God will help us, and I believe he is, about Gideon and them being faint yet pursuing. They were faint. I wrote this down as a possible title. I don't know that that'll be the title. They were faint but still faithful. They were faint but still following. They were faint but still fighting. They were faint but still going forward. Faint will never be an excuse for reversal. Faint will never be an excuse for compromise. Faint will never be an excuse for us not worshiping God. Amen. We better focus on our spiritual life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what verses I read to you. They were faint. Listen, I've got a whole list broke down here on the side of my Bible, if the Lord give me, but I'll give them to you later. You can't handle them this morning, maybe. Let's just read a few verses. Let's read 7 verses in chapter 6, and we'll be winding her down. Chapter 6, verse 1. And we may comment on a little more detail on these verses later. And the Bible said, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." Children of Israel, God's people, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord, listen to us, listen to it. "And the Lord delivered them." The Lord did it. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The Lord did it. The Lord's not going to allow, you know, the Bible talks about in the New Testament that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. When God sees that judgment, it needs to hit America, it's going to start at the house of God. I believe that that indicates to me that God blames the condition of the house of God largely for the condition of the nation. Verse 2, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel." What about that? Israel were defeated on every hand. Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them the dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Do you see somebody there trying to hide? Do you see them because of the invasion of the Midianites? Here is God's people making dens and caves and strongholds in the mountains. Verse 4, "And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Why is all this negative happening? Verse 1, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Church won't get by with it. Individual people won't get by with it. Families won't get by with it. Countries won't get by with it. God will bring judgment when it's necessary. And I don't hardly see how our country can be on the existing course that it's been on for many years of slaughtering, cold-blooded murder of babies. And even stoop so low to consider afterbirth. They've already approved partial birth. That is, the baby is almost birth, almost passed through totally the birth canal and is in this world, but they leave them in just enough to say that they hadn't been fully and completely birthed, and they slaughter them. I mean, I don't mean to be gruesome, but it needs to be told. I mean, they literally suck their brains out. Do you think that that's going to go on in the great red, white, and blue USA and have the favor of God? And the new agenda is even talking such nonsense of legalizing pedophiles, pedophilia. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, if you think that there's even anything remotely natural with that and it should be legalized, you need to sue your brain for non-support. A grown man in their 50s saying that he loves a 13-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 14-year-old. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's wicked, friend. It's condemned in the Bible. But you watch socialism bring it in. You watch when the defunding and the demolishing of police departments is going to usher in lawlessness in this country like has never been. Amen. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, and they are bragging about attacking the NRA and attacking our Second Amendment. Amen. They're going to attack that. Oh, yeah. Who's going to lose their guns? It's going to be good people. Who's going to keep guns? The people, my friend, that are in the black market and the thieves and the thugs, they'll still have theirs. You and I better be focusing on, and RBT, but listen, come on now. I'm not preaching to the Chinese in China and the Russians in Russia and the Jews in Israel. Amen. I'm preaching to RBT. Listen, we better make sure that this is a haven. We need to make sure that this church is a place where we can come in here and be challenged spiritually and be fed spiritually and be nurtured spiritually. Amen. So that we can go back out those doors and face hell by the acre and continue to walk with God and continue to have joy in our soul. The worst thing that happen is RBT dry up and die. And I'm going to tell all of you, I'll preach against it. I'm going to preach against it. If it starts drying up, count on it. I'm going to start nailing it tight. I'm not going to tuck tail and run. If I was going to tuck tail and run, I would have run a long time before now. Amen. I remember in 2005 going to my first mission trip to the Philippines. Well, as far as I knew, when I left the church here to go on that 10-day trip by myself to preach over there, preach twice a day, I mean beyond exhausted. I thought our church was doing good. Flew back in on Friday night, jet lagged beyond anything I'd ever experienced. Didn't even hardly get to the house. One man, not ten, one man in the church called me. Said, "Preacher, I need to come by and talk to you." I thought, man, he said, "I know you're tired, I know." He said, "But I've got to tell you something." I said, "All right." He come to my house and he said, "Preacher, I hate to tell you this. Don't know how else to tell you, but they're going to run you off tomorrow." This was on Saturday, he's telling me. I just got back off of my trip. He said, "They're going to run RBT. We're talking about RBT. He said, "They're going to run you off tomorrow." The whole time I was gone, they was having secret meetings, which was forbidden by our Constitution bylaws. It's amazing, though, when you want to do something that ain't right, how you ignore standards. But you know what I've thought about? And I'm over that. Don't sound like it, but I am. I learned from it. But I've thought several times, out of all the men in this church, of course, there ain't hardly any of them here now, but only one offered to tell me what was fixing to come down. Only one. I took note of that. I opened up my little brain. I said, "Take a note of that. You thought all these was really for you. They wasn't, but one thought about you enough to be able to let you know and forewarn you what was fixing to happen." But that's all it took. That's all it took, friend. I hit it head on. I may not weigh but about 170 pounds, soaking wet. But somewhere in there is a backbone. And I ain't big enough to be bad, as Brother Willis said. But if every one of you turn against this right here and turn against truth that I have in my heart to lead this church in, then here's my forecast. I'm against all of you. I don't believe that's the case, or you wouldn't be here now. Amen. We got to have unity between the pulpit and the pews. We've got to have unity between the pew and the pews. Amen. We've got to have unity. It's not a debatable thing. It's not something that can be overlooked. We've got to have it. Amen. And what churches are doing across town and everywhere else, I'm not going to say I don't care. I do care, but I don't have no choice in that matter. If they go in a liberal direction and I mean open the doors for anything and everything, I don't have nothing to say about that. But we do have something to say about RBT. I've invested 28 years of my life here. Amen. Amen. And I will not just stand by and watch it blow all to pieces. We started out with 13. Dead as 4 o'clock. We started out with 13. And if we have to go back in that direction, I'm willing to do it. Here's my prayer. God, get us where we need to be spiritually and numerically in every way so that the power of God will abide in this place and young people be under conviction and sinners will be saved. Amen. That's right. It's exactly right. God help us. And I'm telling you, I'm not a mean preacher. You say I am, you lying. I ain't a mean preacher. I'm not. In fact, what's got me in trouble over the years that I've been here is I've been too lenient. I hate controversy. I hate it with a passion. I've always, and it ain't good. It don't hardly ever work, but maybe if you leave it alone long enough, it'll fix itself. That don't normally happen. But I've had a lot of heartache in my ministry over that. I should have just dealt with it. I should have just confronted it. I should have just hit it head on. Instead, I let it go and was lenient. And what should have been dealt with a year ago is still not dealt with. I hate controversy. I hate it. But sometimes that's the only way you're going to have to. It's the only thing people understand sometimes. Amen. We don't need to faint. We need to keep pursuing. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We pray you help us, Lord, today. Lord, I pray that Lord, we would focus on our spiritual life that seemed to be emphasized this morning. And I believe that Gideon and them, they had the complications. They did. They had complications that was taxing and wearisome to their flesh. And they were becoming faint. But yet they continued to be faithful. They continued to follow. They continued to go forward. They continued to fight because they had an inspiration in them that was far greater than the complications around them. And Lord, I pray you'll help me and help us here at the church that we will learn these truths that you're trying to give us, you're trying to help us with. May your will be done, Lord. I want your will done in my life. I want your will done in this church. I want your will done in this country. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful no matter what. You're faithful no matter what. Help us to be that way. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. We need everybody here on board. We need all the adults on board spiritually with us. We need everybody that's been saved for a good while. We need everybody, Lord, maturing in the faith and being spiritual and getting rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We need that so that we can help lead others and help influence some young people to stay the course, because they're going to be faced with difficulties also. They're going to be faced with taxing and wearisome circumstances in life. This life is not friendly to people. Lord, this life that we're living, this world we're living in, is not friendly to us many times. Many times it is forceful and it's hard and it's painful and it's irritating. But Lord, we can't leave it until we die and leave this world and Jesus comes. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to me through Gideon and those men. I'm asking you to speak to me and show me, Lord, what you want me to see and what you want us to say. And may it not be said that when we're done with this that we didn't get it. Because I'd almost be tempted to say that we didn't get it because we didn't want it. Because what I'm going to preach is going to go cross grain with the flesh. What I'm going to preach, Lord, the things that you've already shown me and give to me, I know is going to go cross grain with what the flesh wants to hear. But if we're going to be a Gideon, or if we're going to be one of Gideon's army to march forward and be victorious as they were, then Lord, we're going to have to learn some things about what made them what they were. And I pray you will help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for being weak so much, so weak. Help me, Lord, to be strong, stronger. Lord, I need strength. I need strength, Lord, to make it. I need strength. Lord, please help us, I pray. Get the glory. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed while she's playing. Some are praying. If you need to come, feel free to do so. Appreciate that so very much. I'll give you one more statement, and you'll hear this again, I'm certain. Lord, give this to me this week. No one faints because of the condition of somebody else. I want you to get a hold of that. Nobody faints because somebody else is weak. If you faint, it's personal. Fainting is totally personal. May the Lord speak to us with that. Amen.